I have actually disconnected myself from the world for 8 days, and in some cases, I don't know if you can remember, but like me, I'm in some cases never even turned the television on during the Feast of Tabernacles. But this feast has been different, hasn't it? It really has been different. And it's been extremely different from the standpoint of the fact that I haven't been able to lose touch with this world. And I suppose in reviewing all that's been going on, I've conceded to the fact that this feast, like no other feast in the history of my lifetime being in God's church, which has been short, relatively speaking, about 30-some years, 31, I think, 30, that I've never in my life experienced the intensity during a Feast of Tabernacles of where God is not only talking to His church via the ministry of His true church, as they have been congregated together in spots throughout the world, and they are, but at the same time is talking to His birthrighted nations like He's never had before. And I hope, brethren, you understand that God is talking to this nation and many of the commonwealth nations of which have been recipients of His blessings as a result of an unconditional promise He made some 4,000 years ago or so to an ancient patriarch, one of your forefathers and my forefathers. Regardless of color and race, brethren, they are our forefathers, because we are the recipients of that promise given to that forefather who passed it to Isaac, to Jacob, and his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And His voice, brethren, is going to get clearer and clearer and clearer as we go forward in time. And nothing, brethren, short of national repentance is going to deter God's wrath on this nation. Please understand that. Please understand that, because it is very, very important. And you've been hearing about it. You've been hearing about it for 8 days. What have you been hearing? You've been hearing about rising to the occasion. You've been hearing about standing in the gap. And you know what it all means? You know what it all means when you come right down to it? It's time, brethren, to get urgent on yourself. It's high time all of us get white hot with passion, enthusiasm, commitment, dedication. Because God's not fooling around. He is not fooling around. God is speaking to us, brethren. You want to be spiritual at the Feast of Tabernacles? Just recognize what you're hearing, seeing, and feeling. Because God's attempting and trying to connect with each and every one of us very, very sincerely. You know, Charles Gross commenced this feast with a very interesting concept. And if I might take liberty, I'm sure Charles wouldn't mind, I'd like to kind of come full circle with that imagery that he brought up to us that first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. About a week ago, Charles stood here and he said, "You know, we're on a search and rescue mission." And I kind of thought about that, and I thought to myself, you know, that's pretty unique, because we are. Spiritually speaking, I can extrapolate that concept. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I can see it. I can understand it. I can grip my teeth into it, and I can chew on that. And he also said something else in passing. I don't know how many of you caught it. I know perhaps firemen among us, like Doug Kosh, who
from Canada, is with us. He probably caught the distinction because he understands certain objectives and missions when designated to do something in his profession, being a fireman, that makes certain differences of activity begin. Charles said, we're on a search and rescue mission. He also said, in the millennium, here's the distinction, in the millennium, we'll be in search and recovery. Now, here's a difference. Here's a difference, he said. The fact is, brethren, that's true. There's no question about it. In the millennium, we will be in recovery mode. We will be rebuilding waste cities. We will be bringing people from other parts of the world who have been in captivity and bringing them, and in some cases, even our brothers and sisters of American, Canadian, and other Commonwealth locations who had been taken down into captivity, brought down through a river that was dried up for dry shod, Isaiah 11, brought into Palestine to what? To begin the little microcosm nation that commences in the millennium, known as what? Israel. Why? So that little group of physical human beings, ruled by you guys who are spirit at that time, are going to begin to encourage, guide, direct an example. An example so that all nations on the earth will look to that little golden nugget as an example of how God now wants to start his new social order. And that's awesome. And that's good. And I agree with that search and recovery concept. But I want to make a bit of a distinction here. You can follow me through this. Because there's another dimension to this recovery effort that right now, brethren, you and I are involved with, whether we like it or not. Because you see, as we begin to get rescued as people, guess what happens to God's church? It recovers. God's church recovers. It's the natural spin-off of being rescued by Jesus Christ. The church recovers. You see, now I'm not going to ask you for a hand-raising here of how many of you have recovery experience, be it in Alcoholics Anonymous, or be it in Al-Anon, or be it in some kind of family counseling group that you've had some experience in those kind of recovery organizations or events in your life due to your past. But I will ask this. How many of you in this room are recovering sinners? Hi, I'm Bill Watson. I'm a recovering sinner. Hi, Terry Balsamo. She's a recovering sinner. You see, brethren, we're in recovery. We are in recovery right now. And the unique thing about this is that to the degree that we are willing to lose the baggage that comes with, because every one of us in this room, because we're recovering sinners, that baggage. You know, some of us perhaps have prostitution in our backgrounds. Others of us, maybe were abused when we were little and raped by who knows who. Some of us might have even drugs in our background. And as we understand, one guy who had a beard and long hair was up here, played in a rock and roll band. Imagine that. I'd say he's in recovery. You see. But the fact is, and here's where I'm going with this, to the degree that we are able to relieve ourselves of that baggage and recover individually, we'll have a direct impact on how we recover collectively as an organization.
If Clint is healthy and his family is healthy and the congregation he meets is healthy and the leadership, therefore, he exercises and expresses as Wayne or Mike or any of the ministry or local contacts out there are healthy with their families individually will determine how healthy we will be collectively. Does that make sense? It's so important, brethren, that we get urgent on our lives. I don't need to remind you, Jesus Christ died for your sins, but I will. Because He did. He died for your sins. He took a hit. I've characterized it many times of you being in a foxhole with a buddy, and the buddy sees a grenade roll in, and some of you former military guys know what this is like, and guess what he did? He jumped on it, covered it, and took it. Died so you could live. That's what Jesus did for all of us, brother. That's what He did for all of us. And that is reality. Now, the other reality is, collectively, God's church, where is God's church?
My wife hates it when I yell. Oh, she hates it when I yell.
Oh, Vivian, you're going to get me in trouble now. But in all seriousness, brother, I didn't mean that to be my punctuation. But I think you get my point. Where is God's church? And it's a sad reality, isn't it, that we're so fragmented. We don't have a voice. We had an opportunity in 1974, some of you old-timers will remember this, at a ministerial conference before that ministerial conference occurred, for an individual to come and speak before the collective ministry of the worldwide Church of God with some crazy idea, and of which was shot down because it just wasn't recognized for the value it could provide. And so, therefore, Ted Turner was never able to present his idea of cable news television to the worldwide Church of God in 1974. It was before 700 Club. Could you imagine if we had our television on a television station that we owned, like a 700 Club? Hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. And for now, perhaps it won't happen. But the reality is, we do have a certain voice, a certain level of volume, not what you just heard, of course. But we're about $1.7 million a year. That's about how big we are. About $1.7 million a year. Now, that's not a lot of money. You know, we think in terms of $200,000 to $300,000 that Charles brought up the first day, but really you could go through that in 6-7 months on television. It's peanuts. It is peanuts. But you see, it's reflective. It's so reflective, and I think this is pretty loud already. I'm going to back up here a little. It's really reflective of our health. Because you see, brethren, we've got a fairly good size mailing list, but there are very few carrying the load, paying the bills. Because over the years, people have forgotten that tithing is a form of worship of God. People have forgot to connect with the fact that there is a relationship and a real connection, brethren, between how you feel toward God and what you do with your money and what I do with my money. You see? Yeah, we're an organization that probably and could be and should be providing more services.
And there's a lot of things that we know we ought to be providing. But at this point, and at this time, we haven't been able to. But you know, there is something we have been able to provide in the Church of God International that has been a financial benefit for all of you, and oftentimes is not even recognized for the value that it provides, because you see, it's really not seen as far as the monies and the revenues that are saved by this benefit of which all of us in the Church of God International, this organization, benefit by. You know what that benefit is? As simple as this may sound, brethren, it has to do with the integrity, without question, and the moral character, without question. Without question, by virtue of what I'm going to illustrate to you in a moment, of the leadership of this organization. What do I mean? I'd like to ask all of the salaried ministers to stand up. Now you may say, well, Bill, there's no ministers in the room, right? Could I ask, if I could be so kind, to ask all of you guys to stand up who are ordained, credentialed ministers of the Church of God International? If you would stand up, please. Just stand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Mike. Also Mike. 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 men. Okay, fellas. Thank you. Oh, 11. 11. Now, I'm not done yet. I want to ask you something. And I will give you license to call out and yell, scream, even raise your hand with fingers up in the air. What do you think that's worth in dollars? Let me hear some figures. What do you think is a fair wage for a full-time minister overseeing 2 or 3 congregations, traveling 30 to 40,000 miles a year, going through a car about every 2 years? What do you think? 50,000. I hear 50. 80. I hear 80.
120.
120. I like that guy. 125. Invaluable, no price. Priceless. But we've got to be realistic. Let me be conservative. Based on 25 on the low and 125 on the high, let me be conservative. I'll go 60. 60? Okay, now, at 20% for benefits, hospitalization, and a car. And not a Volkswagen. Not a Volkswagen, no Volkswagen. But not an STS either, we'll say. But the point being that I want to illustrate, brethren, you're looking at somewhere between $50,000 and $75,000 times 11? $1 million? Close to it. Close to $1 million, we are appreciative. So when I say 1.7 million, guess what we really are? Because we can multiply times about 30 fellas in the ministry who are all non-salaried. Because see, the Church of God International only has 3 salaried ministers. But you know what? That's part of our problem. That's part of our problem. The sad part of it is we've done all that we've done without a full-time ministry. And the sad part about it is, think of what we could be doing if we had a full-time ministry with this kind of heart in the men that are leading us. As an organization. You see, these guys aren't in it for the money. They've already told you that. They told you without telling you. And there are people today that are cynical that say all they want is the money. They're only in it for the money. Yeah, Watson's up here because he's in it for the money. What I say, how much time I spend here, I don't even have to be here. I don't get any more money because I don't take any money. I'm not a liability to the Church of God International. I like the thing. I'm an asset. I like the thing.
But the point is, brethren, we have got to move the next step. We want this organization to grow, do we? Do we believe we have a message to give to the world? Then, brethren, we've got to ante up, because it's going to take money. Not only in salaries. I haven't even touched that. I'm not going to. What Carol did, because that won't even be done. He already hit that on television. We've got to improve the program. We need a little bit more there as well. Some of you think we need more, even much more. And we're working on it. And we're doing the best we can with what we have. But the fact is, and the reality is, brethren, God is talking to this nation. We've got the message, the answers of what he's trying to get across to our peoples. And I mean all the peoples of North America and those Commonwealth nations who have been recipients and squandered. Oh, have we squandered our riches in idolatry? And we have, brethren. You listen to television. What do you hear? Nothing about God and fasting. Nothing about this nation being brought to its knees to take a look at how it's living and why perhaps certain things are going on. No, what you hear is, we're strong. We're going to get our stealths over there. We're going to nail them. And then when we get done with Afghanistan, we're going into Iran and Iraq. Because we're the big guys in the neighborhood. Sennacherib said the same thing when he was surrounding Jerusalem. And he woke up the next morning with 185,000 corpses around him. And he went back to Assyria with his tail between his legs. So what am I saying, brother? I'm saying that I think there's a certain element of frustration among all of us. And I believe, I'm saying I, because I'm talking to many of you, I've heard you share the same frustration with me, that God's church is, unfortunately, squelched in the forums that we believe we ought to have. However, keep this in mind. When the forums arrive, and we do have that opportunity to step up to the plate, as this nation will never be the same again, so will your lives be never the same again. God is building his Gideon's army, brethren. You're part of it. You're part of it. We need to increase our faith, because the words of why this nation is going down need to be said. And they're all back here. Amos, Ezekiel, Hosea, I've got some of them in color to bring my attention to them. And they're also in your New Testament by Jesus Christ himself, who was the greatest prophet besides our Savior who walked this planet. So, brethren, we got a job to do. It's a big job. And yeah, it starts with you and I recovering individually. And I'm sorry for having all you guys stand up here this morning. I really am. But I'm going to have to stand in here. But we do need to recover individually. Our families, our congregations, they need to get healthy so that they're balanced and they're not kooky and crazy. And when people walk in, they have people fighting with each other or people coming off the walls with wild and crazy and imagined ideas from their own set of standards, their own imaginations. We've got to settle down, brethren. Also, in amongst all of this noise, keep it in perspective. You will hear many more rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. We had one over there in Los Angeles, a little one here the other day. I understand it was 2.93 on the Richter scale. You're going to hear more and more of this stuff. Keep it in perspective. Don't get shook, but get busy and get urgent with God in your life, so that collectively, as you commit more individually and dedicate more individually your own lives to Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and whom is your Savior, and you need him in your life, and you people who are considering baptism, get baptized, get urgent on yourselves, because it's only going to get clearer.
clearer that God is talking to us. So it's really important that we do individually, we cover, so that collectively, it'll happen automatically. Collectively, we'll recover. And God's church, you know it and I know it, needs definitely to recover.